Well, welcome back, Marquette students. And you never know when things are going to change around here, do you? This blue carpet concludes one aspect of the legacy of Father John, our former pastor. And we are glad for it. He's not going to come back and haunt us. So, very nice to come up and see it. There's that symbol above us, the IHS, which are the first three letters of the name Jesus in Greek, Yoda, Eta, Sigma. It's on the carpet behind the altar, so come up, check it out. So, I want to talk about mortality in this way. I want to talk about its worth as found in the one of the prefaces, the prayer that I pray before the holy. We sing the holy, holy, holy. And this is really becoming meaningful to me in a lot of ways, so I get to share it with you. So see if it fits, okay? We know it belongs to your boundless glory, O God, that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation. The cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation. That, more and more for me now, is a reason to give thanks to Eucharistic prayer, thanks to God for working in Christ to open that up for us. So here's one way of looking at it. This is what I think it means. And I gotta say, because of the different kind of developmental projects we're all involved in, you know, typically before 30 or 35, people are about making their kingdoms, especially us guys, build the kingdom, make sure we're doing something that, you know, we can defend and protect and all that. It's ours. That's the important thing. So mortality may not mean much to you. Think of this as an investment in your future, okay? So, because I think the human project of making a life is completely wonderful and challenging and precarious. That of creating our kingdoms. It involves maintaining some kind of balance between body and spirit, between body and soul, between that which is mortal, that which is limited. Did you ever want to be in two places at once? I have. And it's impossible. We're located in time and space. We have, you know, height, weight, and all that stuff like that, and some of us struggle with both of those. I think the development of making the complete life, which is discipleship, involves coming to know and value our mortality. In other words, our limitations. I can't be here and in New York City at the same time. It's impossible. I'm this many years old. I've got a bad knee. I don't like that. Blah, 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 blah. But it also involves honoring that kind of aspect of our spirits that can soar in creativity, in hopes and dreams, in plans for the future. And, you know, we could have it all because of our expansive minds and spirits. So one is limited, contingent. The other is expansive and practically, if not infinite, indefinite. So, especially young folks, see if this fits at all. But I think others might have this experience. I have found it very difficult to value my own mortality, vulnerability and weakness, inadequacy. I really believe I should be able to do everything, you know, 18 hours a day. Believe it. However, the recent deaths of Father John, our former pastor, and my best buddy in the Society of Jesus, Jerry Stockhausen, whom we buried a week ago, it really has dragged me kicking and screaming into a reflection on mortality and my lack of value of that. So I want to propose that the value of it is much like the legend of Saint Francis of Assisi, who went to embrace the leper, that which was abhorrent to that person, who was abhorrent to him, and he avoided. I think today's reading, especially the gospel, speaks to that, that Jesus tells us there is value in mortality by giving us the expansive vision of the scriptures. So there are four. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, which is a bad translation, I'm going to suggest. Okay? But the first, there are four groups. So, I think these are four groups that, whether we identify them externally or internally, most of us have problems with. In Luke's gospel, the poor is a major category. So what is good news to the poor? What is good? This is not poor in spirit. What is good news to the poor? He looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." That which is unvaluable, and those people who are invaluable, who are not valuable, not worthy, whom we turn away from, to them belongs the kingdom of God. In the same way that the parts of our lives that are poor, that we reject, that's where the kingdom of God goes. The captives, the second one. And the term, eikmalotos is the Greek. What it means, really, it's translated mostly, those in exile. Those alienated from God, society, and others. Of which you might say David Bowie, who died a little bit ago, was the representative of folks on the margins who are in exile. You might say the Syrian immigrants. They don't belong. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives. What's the part of our lives in which you and I feel exile? alienation, on the outside looking in, or who or whom are those whom we keep in exile on the outside looking in because we so desperately want to belong? Works both ways. It's a mirror. Third are the blind. He has sent me to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. In Isaiah, I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by a road they do not know, by paths they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light and the rough places into level ground. It's the calling forth of those who are blind. And we don't, you know, where we walk in darkness and don't know it. We grope like the blind along a wall, groping like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the twilight, among the vigorous as though we were dead. Isaiah 59. And finally, the most interesting group are what's called the oppressed. That's the way it's translated. Let me offer a different translation of this whole thing, because I think this sums it up. To send on mission those who have been crushed in freedom. It uses this, the Greek uses the verb apostello, from which we get the word apostle, someone sent. And just earlier, Jesus had said, he has anointed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and sent me to. Right? The same thing. Those who have been crushed are the ones, literally, who become apostles in Luke's gospel, in his spirituality. And is saying to those of us whose lives have been crushed and our dreams and hopes have been shattered, it's the part about saying, you can be sent on mission because of that part of your life. You have value. To send on mission those who have been crushed by what? Really, who bear the consequences, according to Deuteronomy, and of idolatry. We're crushed because of the consequences we bear because of our idolatry. So, what does this have to do with mortality, and what does it have to do with the Gospel of Luke? It's the part that says what we disvalue and those whom we disvalue are the ones who are sent, who are led, who are brought out of exile, and who find the kingdom of God. The mystery is that our world, especially in Luke, it's turned upside down. And so that's what happens with mortality. That's what happens with the structures of our minds that say, it's like this. And Jesus says, would you listen to this for a second? Seems to me, take it or leave it, but it seems to me that is the good news. that the part of your life and mine and those whom we disvalue, it becomes a remedy for mortality itself by engaging and finding the mystery of Christ within that. And so what we go on to do in just a moment is to give thanks to God because Christ does that in our lives. Holy, holy, holy. Let me end with this. For we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity. That would be us. And even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself. That the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. May we give praise and thanks to God as we discover that meaning playing out in our lives. Let us take a moment to consider how we could pray for our world and church and for one another.